This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday. The week is marching on. We got things to do, people to see, places to go. Yes. So, lots of interesting stuff to get stuck into today, but first, let's stretch and yawn. God, I got out of bed this morning and I stretched and I heard something go click.
Oh, no.
No, but not in a bad way. You know, sometimes you click in a horrendous way and you can't move for the rest of the day or your neck won't turn properly or whatever. This is a good click. It's like
I'm alive.
I heard birds tweeting, which is a really good sign.
That is a good sign. Well, you know, we've passed the halfway mark of the year.
Yep.
We've passed the halfway mark of winter. But, you know, August has this nasty habit of having a sting in its tail.
So yeah, sure.
You just think you're through July and you're like, oh, okay, now it's going to get better. August's a bitch. Trust it.
It's gonna get windy.
It is. Yeah, that's horrible. That's the worst. But you know what they say? Boring people talk about the weather, so let's not.
Oh, okay.
I think everybody wants to talk about two things this morning, and what? Both of them are in Ben's domain.
Yes.
Will you guess the one?
Big day.
Yes.
Eh?
You want to guess the one? I'll guess the other.
Kevin Anderson.
Yes.
Federer.
Jesus.
Have you ever?
What a guy. I mean, I watched... to be fair, I only watched the last set. Well, it went to what? 13 to 11?
Yeah. Yep.
Jeez. I couldn't believe it. I saw someone post something about it, and I thought, no way. So I switched on my TV. First of all, my TV was so surprised to be switched on. It went all pink and brown, and I had to reset it. I haven't switched my TV on for like weeks. So I switched the thing on, and it looked like it had an apoplexy. It was so unused to being used. And then I watched the game. It was fantastic. That Kevin Anderson really fought hard. Did Federer just throw that last point? He was like, I'm tired, I'm out of here.
No, I think what happened was that... This is the great thing about Wimbledon, is that you get like power games on grass. Everything's really, very fast. And Anderson just like ground him down. You try facing serves like that all day. It's just it's tiring as all hell. So you become powerless, and then with that comes the fatigue, and with that comes the big loss.
It was so impressive to see.
Yeah. Huh? Well, his career has been kind of on that trajectory. You know, you did make that US Open final.
Yeah, it's
He's always been pretty decent at Wimbledon because of the conditions. He took Djokovic really close a couple of years back.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like a massive surprise where he is.
I mean, What's he seeded?
He is the eighth seed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to make top five.
Yeah, he is.
As soon as Murray is out.
He is. He's.
Andy's doing commentary at the moment.
No way. Already.
I was like coming to Wimbledon. My mom used to give me a sandwich. And
is that how he sounds?
Oh, no. And then I would win a point and I'd be happy. And then I'd lose a point and she would be unhappy.
Oh, no.
What? No, we can't.
I'd love to actually hear that, the conversation between him and his mother. Even now. But especially back then. Because she was a tyrant.
Mama, I want to have some friends and have a life. You're Ginger, get back on the court.
That's how
you got to win tennis. But Mama, I've really got
If you don't win your tennis game, I'm not going to take you to the sweet shop.
And you'd go to the sweet shop and she'd say, you're going to have one sweet.
Oh, shame, guys.
And then she would lick it and say, you're right, you have the rest of it. She was mean.
Snap.
She was mean. She brought
is
him
she
up.
Is she still
tough.
Around?
Yes, yeah. Of course she is. She's not old. She's like... 60, 50.
Forgive my rank ignorance on this, but what do we know about Kevin Anderson?
Well, he's about as South African as Roger Federer.
Okay, in other words, he was born here and it had nothing to do with it.
Well, look, if you play tennis in South Africa, what you do is you try to go to America. If you can't get to America, well, then you try to go to America again. So, like, people can claim him all they want. Oh, it's South Africa. I mean...
Is that because he...
There's nothing for tennis players in this country. You think we've got an amazing climate. How hard is it to build a tennis court? Not really. But yet again, sports authorities let us down in this respect.
But did he grow up here? Did he go to school here?
Yeah, he spent enough time here to obviously develop the accent, which you can still hear.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, then let's claim
And
him.
He looks no, he, all the way Saffa.
He is South African. He looks like Harry Enfield from Kenny and Perry Go Large, actually. That's.
Yeah.
But yeah, he... He was born here, of course, and
all right.
But you have to go to America. That's the only way you can make it as a tennis player.
Because they've got these academies there and all that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I mean,
best coaches.
Oh, what are you going to do here? You're going to be dicking around Kempton Park trying to stay away from Bob Hewitt types.
Sure.
Your only kind of future here as a tennis player.
It's hard out there, man.
Well done, Kevin. Super impressive.
On a different note.
Puppy's just like, whoa, Jesus, I don't know where Ben's going on this one.
Yeah, but that's, all right. That's where it is. So if you're expecting to now watch him in a tournament, because a lot of people think like, oh, cool, I'm going to go watch Kevin Anderson, because a lot of people don't know a lot about the background of sport.
Mm.
You won't see him here. I mean, the Davis Cup.
No. No, of course not. I mean, there's no reason for a tennis player to hang around here. And then the other big story is really this, because they were already counting themselves.
We're not creative enough. We're not positive enough.
It's coming, you know, home. It's coming home. It's coming. Football's coming home.
We'll go on.
Well, not really, is it?
It's coming. It's coming. Football's coming home.
It did not come home, and the English are very, very upset.
Sure.
God, they must be so hungover there. Today is going to be a horrible, unproductive day all over England. Huh?
Pretty much. And I bet it's going to like rain. The weather's going to be shitty.
Oh, God. You mean the summer's over? The whole honeymoon with England at the top is just it's crashing and burning.
But this is sport like any other drug. You have your highs and you have your lows.
So, Ben, you mentioned something interesting, I thought, on the show. You said that domestic violence is actually a major problem. Now, I didn't even realize this, but
I saw this.
Yeah.
Yeah, something that's been shared has been this amazing sort of campaign around domestic violence where obviously the cross of St. George,
yeah,
that is obviously on a woman's face, as in she's been smacked in the nose and now there's blood streaming down. And it is. I mean, there's a huge problem in South Africa. It's gigantic.
South Africa, really. You mean England?
No, I'm saying, I'm just getting to that in a second.
Oh, okay.
It's a huge problem in South Africa. So that Carling Black Label addressed this with that whole striking a woman campaign.
Yes.
Where, you know, it's something that needs to be brought to the fore. But first world countries around the world, this is what happens because guys get drunk, they invest everything into their teams. And we saw people getting tattoos and people losing their minds.
Yeah.
Football doesn't come home. Yeah. I'm angry. She doesn't understand why I'm as angry as I want her to understand that. And then, yeah, you get a lot of domestic violence.
That's a horrible, ugly underbelly, obviously, of all of this stuff. Because, you know, you'd think, sports fan, it's one of the few pleasures you're allowed to have without guilt these days. You're allowed to support your team. But if it gets to that stage, you know you've got major problems.
Well, as Rich Mulholland said a few months back, people outsource their masculinity into these positions where they can't control it. But it is like, you know, when Harry Kane becomes your hero, and he fluffs an open goal, basically. What do? You get angry. You have no way of controlling that anger.
Yeah, I actually speak about Rich Mulholland. I saw him tweeting through the game last night saying how this is the most boring thing he's ever watched. He did not enjoy it.
Well, he has not watched many football matches then.
No, he hasn't. I thought it was a pretty interesting match. I mean, there was a lot to keep you in.
Yeah, it was the perfect start for England, and then
the fact that it went to extra time was
cool. Oh, no, that was too long, folks. Well, I was really trying to be there.
You were hoping
part
for
penalties.
To hype everything even more, it would have been great, because now we're not going to hopefully have penalties on Sunday.
No, France are going to win like 4-0.
You think so, huh? Because these Croatians are plucky.
Yeah,
and they're clever. They waited until England had given their all, and then they were like, right, now we're going to score.
Yeah, I think it's everyone's kind of been on a level. France have been just chilling.
Yeah.
They'll just win. Right. They'll win when they want, how they want.
Okay, Ben.
Mm.
I don't know. Your predictions have been iffy. You haven't got them all. You haven't got them all right.
Yeah. No one's been worse than me.
You've been the worst, right?
I give up.
If Puppy says it goes this way, it goes the opposite way. Don't listen to
her. Dude, I'm done.
Speaking of Rich Mulholland, I laughed at him. I don't know if you saw, this was even a news story last night on the news about ABSA's relaunch.
The new logo.
You know, they're not a client of ours here, so I don't feel bad about saying what I think
new
of them.
New branding, new logo, everything. Yeah,
well, who cares, right? I mean, who cares? Really and truly, who cares? They've got a new logo. They've gone back to ABSA. I don't see anyone celebrating in the streets. I don't see anyone except them talking about it on social media. No one gives a shit. And Rich said, 1, nobody gives a damn about your logo. 2, consultants sell you a new logo. 3, you launch your new logo. 4, everybody gives a damn about your logo. 5 is dot, dot, dot. 6, nobody gives a damn about your logo.
Okay.
Rinse and repeat as required. It's such an ego thing, isn't it?
Like completely.
For the board and the executives and the CEO, because the average people at ABSA, even the staff don't give a shit. Now they're all going to be forced to watch videos about the corporate rebranding as if they're meant to care about it, you know?
And how it displays the essence of this and that. Yeah.
I'm worried about the design.
These are our values and this is our mission statement and all of that
shit.
They're
spending tons of money on this.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
My sister works for them and she was called over the weekend because they're doing a relaunch. Yeah. And she's like, I don't even know why I'm called on a Saturday, but they were doing relaunches over the weekend for all of their employees.
What does that mean? After 10 meetings?
They invited all of their employees to different venues to get a rundown of the entire
year. Who are these consultants who come into companies and tell them to do this?
These people with mortgages, Gareth.
Are they ex-Nazis? I mean, it's like a corporate brainwashing.
Yeah,
it really is. It's like you've got to care about the place that you work for that much. Look, don't get me wrong. It's important to have a certain healthy level of respect and care for your fellow workers and the place you work for. Otherwise, why are you working there? If you're just going in for your salary, you know, that's also pointless. But that we have to be brainwashed by these corporates. You know, you got a job at the bank. That doesn't mean you have to think, breathe, eat, sleep the bank every day.
Well, they would hope you were like that.
God, I mean, I think that's a kind of, it's a totalitarianism. That's what it is. It's exactly what we despise in politics. So why would we want to see it in our corporate culture?
We should get Gord to talk about this next week, because I think he's actually working for them right now.
He might be. Yeah, that's right. He might be. I think we must ask him.
No, but I think you're also out of touch slightly.
Well, here's the thing. I once went to an insurance company. I was emceeing a big party of theirs or a big end of year function or whatever it was. They made everybody, it was like the Hitler Youth. They made everybody stand up. I promise you, they made everybody stand up and recite the mission statement or something. It was horrible.
Like the Hitler Youth.
It really was. It was horrible to see. You know what I mean. And I'm not looking for trouble here with particularly ABSA. I think, you know, they probably were due a relaunch. That logo is from like the 90s or whatever. And by relaunch, I mean you could just soup it up and carry on with your business and people will catch on. Oh, ABS has changed their logo. You don't have to spend millions. These companies do this. You know, they've got this idea, because what happens is you get a management consultant in and the management consultant says to you, well, what you need is to rebrand and all of your staff need to be onboarded.
Yeah, onboard.
They use these words like onboarded and corporate culture.
On the same page. Shit.
You know what I mean? We all need to be on the same page. Here are our values. This is our mission statement. This is our, I can't even remember what these terms are. You've heard them. If you work for a big company, you know what I mean. It's just such bullshit. It really is bullshit. How about just, your job is this, your job is that, your job's that. We all have to work together to make this happen. Let's go, guys. If you're not motivated by that, there's no corporate messaging that's going to motivate you. People aren't looking for a family. They're looking for a decent place to work.
And
pleasant
some
place
money.
To work.
I would have been hacked if they'd spent millions on this rebrand, but they couldn't like give us just like a little bit more money to like tie this over. It always hacks me that they're gonna spend lots of money and then when you ask for a raise they're gonna be like and then you find out it's like $100 million worth of money that they've spent on this shocking rebrand,
right?
And there you are, still living in your house, driving the same car.
There we go.
Yeah, well,
because whether you're a worker or a customer, at the end of the day you just want to know, how does it affect me?
That's it, and most people are not affected by this at all, is the point. Anyway, let's not go down this path and get all lumpy about it. There's plenty of stuff to talk about this morning. We got Justice, he's going to be on the line. He said he's suffering from a terrible cold or something, right?
Yes.
But he will be on the line this morning for the Burning Platform. I met an interesting guy yesterday, a guy called James Myberg, who publishes a news... He's got a news business called Politics Web. You might have seen one or two of their articles over the last, you know, couple of months. And he's got a really interesting stable of contributors. They publish some really good stuff. And I thought maybe we should get him in one morning and talk to him about what they do. And you know who they're aiming at and all that kind of thing. Could be quite interesting. Lots of good stuff. I saw some Trump news yesterday. He gave the Germans the middle finger, which is pretty funny. We'll talk about that.
And he gave them a dressing down.
Oh, big time. Ooh. Yeah. We'll explain what happened in a second. And Jonathan Witt was on CakeNet last night.
Yes. Excuse me now?
Yes, our own Jonathan Witt from the Renegade Report was invited on CakeNet to talk about Donald Trump with Professor John Stremlau and Waldemar Pelzer on his show on CakeNet. So well done to Jonathan. Mm. Made some good arguments. He was very considered. He was very composed. He was very calm. Jonathan Witt, let me tell you, you can get fired up. What was that show he was on? He was doing there was a replay of a Renegade Report yesterday where he was...
That's one of his recent shows. He was furious. He was very spirited about a couple...
He was furious.
You guys are very particular about the adjectives you use.
He was
spirited.
Furious.
He was very considered.
Telling you. Okay. The guy was out of control. You need to listen to that episode of the Renegade Report just to hear him shouting and screaming. So someone says here, I'm a consultant, still in my warm bed as I work from home, living the life, consulting nice. For life. Yeah, there we see. You see what I mean? Vinny is sending us messages from India. He says, guys, I'm having trouble listening to podcasts in the app. It keeps cutting out. Have deleted all saved podcasts and deleted and reinstalled the app. It's still happening. Listening via the browser now. Sorry to bother you so early. You know what? There's something wrong with that. The latest upgrade, I think it obviously depends on what kind of phone you have, because certain phones with the latest software upgrades... We have to keep re-upgrading our app as well. And sometimes it takes a week or two. And we're trying to figure out what's going on there. Because you're not the only one. I actually got a message from Hi Rob yesterday. He said that he was also having trouble accessing our live stream. But we'll see if we can figure it out.
It purely comes down to, unfortunately, sometimes just the model of the phone.
Yeah, correct.
So it's something personal.
I know that doesn't make you feel better if you're trying to listen to us, but that's the truth. All right, so can we talk about what Donald Trump did? Because you know what NATO is, right?
The North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
It's basically NATO was set up at some point in the Cold War to protect Europe from Russia and Russian predation on Europe. And what's happened is that NATO has obviously become less and less important. Then it became more and more important. Then less again. And now it's at a point where what happens is that the US almost guarantees the safety of Europe from the East. They say, well, we have air bases, we have missiles, we have a defense system which is set up to protect Europe. And it was kind of a remnant of America's role in World War II in some ways, of keeping some stability during the starting phases of the Cold War, Kennedy's Berlin airdrop. So America felt almost a duty to its allies in Europe to protect them from predation from the East, particularly because there was this, you know, Iron Curtain that Winston Churchill had spoken about, where there was the East and the West.
Mm-hmm.
And NATO was expressly set up to serve that purpose. Anyway, turns out that, you know, the Americans are paying a fortune to look after Europe, and the Europeans pay way, way less than the Americans do. And Trump is like, I don't see why my taxpayers in America, why people who are paying tax in America ought to pay for your security. And he called out some hypocrisy. He said to the Germans, you've just done a pipeline deal with Russia. Now, how can you be doing a pipeline deal with Russia?
And still trying to...
And then ask for us to pay for your security, especially when Russia is supposedly... the country that you're most worried about. Know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Yeah, so this is from not the greatest source in the world, but Sean Hannity on Fox News. Just listen to what he has to say about it.
All right, for decades, the United States has been footing the bill for the safety and the security of the European continent, and all while many of our allies all across the Atlantic fail to live up to their commitments. Now today in Brussels, President Trump made it perfectly clear the U.S. taxpayer is not and no longer going to be Europe's ATM machine. Take a look at this.
Many countries owe us a tremendous amount of money from many years back where they're delinquent.
far as I'm concerned, because the United States has had to pay for them. So if you go back 10 or 20 years, you'll just add it all up. It's massive amounts of money is owed. Germany is just paying a little bit over 1%, whereas the United States, in actual numbers, is paying 4.2% of a much larger GDP. So I think that's inappropriate also. You know, we're protecting Germany, we're protecting France, we're protecting everybody, and yet we're paying a lot of money to protect. Now, this has been going on for decades. This has been brought up by other presidents, but other presidents never did anything about it because I don't think they understood it or they just didn't want to get involved. But I have to bring it up because I think it's very unfair to our country. It's very unfair to our taxpayer. And I think that these countries have to step it up, not over a 10-year period. They have to step it up immediately.
Now, the president, he's absolutely right. And even the Secretary General of NATO is backing up President Trump. Let's take a look at this.
We are going to discuss many important issues at the summit. Among them is defense spending. And we all agree that we have to do more. I agree with you that we have to make sure that allies are investing more. The good news is that the allies have started to invest more in defense. After years of cutting defense budgets, they have started to add billions to their defense budgets. And last year was the biggest increase in defense spending across Europe and Canada in a generation.
Why was that last year?
It's also because of your leadership, because your carried message.
Numbers don't lie. So let's do something the mainstream media would never do. We're going to break down those numbers. Now, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO, it was first utilized as a unified military deterrent to the looming Soviet threat and to provide intercontinental stability throughout Western Europe and North America. It was formed after two world wars actually devastated the European continent. It took the lives of hundreds of thousands of American heroes. Now, NATO has a massive budget, around $1 trillion. Now, this year, the United States contributed over $700 billion to that budget. All right, let's compare that to the rest of our allies. The next highest contribution, well, that would come from the United Kingdom. They only contribute $61.5 billion. Germany, a mere $51 billion. Canada comes in, frankly, at an embarrassingly low $21 billion. And the country where NATO is headquartered, Belgium, they contribute only $5 billion. In fact, the United States, you, the American taxpayer, you're on the hook for 70% of NATO's expenses. Now, that's right. We pay 70 cents of every dollar that NATO spends. And while all NATO allies agreed to contribute at least 2% of the country's overall GDP to the NATO budget, the U.S. is only, get this, only one of four nations to actually follow through on that agreement and that standard. The United States actually contributes, well, almost double, 3.5% of our massive GDP to NATO's budget.
So that's interesting, right? That the Americans have been putting up with this for so long. Mm. And can you imagine how annoyed you would be? Annoyed is an understatement. If you found out that we were spending a fortune, like close to $700 billion, obviously our economy is much smaller, on looking after and protecting other people, you'd be furious.
Sure.
You'd be like, this taxpaying money that we are giving to the state should be used for us. You'd be annoyed, but some people think that this is, you know, Trump being an asshole again.
Of course, people are saying, oh, he's just killing public foreign relations, all that kind of stuff.
I want to know
there's consistency though, Gareth, because didn't he say, he wasn't just making hats saying make America great again. He said America are in some terrible deals around the world and I'm going to sort that out.
No, he did.
He said that, and this is just a politician following up on his word.
Which never happens.
Which never happens.
Can I ask this as well? How long until the UN comes into the spotlight? How long until people say, well, why are we paying for the United Nations as well? Because the Americans are obviously the major payers there, you know, in every way, shape, and form. The Americans pay for the UN to exist. And that is a monstrous bureaucratic nightmare. If you have, if you've ever had the time or the trouble or the interest to look at how the UN works, Jesus, you cannot believe the amount of money that is spent there. And I wonder what countries like America get out of that, because they're paying for the majority of the UN's expenses. And what do they get out of it? Every time they want to vote on something, all the other countries vote against them. So America is eventually going to say at the UN, hang on a second, why are we funding this thing? And they'll pull them all their money out. and then the UN will collapse.
And it's not like if America has a problem, they go, oh, UN, we need some help on a matter. Let's just do it themselves.
No, America needs anything from the UN. They've got no chance.
I just don't like it when it affects us.
Well, it's luckily at this point, this whole NATO thing doesn't really have terribly much to do with us. I mean, we may have some arms manufacturers here in South Africa that are busy supplying Europe, but that's about all I can think would matter. Other than that, I don't think it really hits us very hard. What we need to do is get our act together here. You heard what Mueletsi Mbeki said about the average age of a South African soldier.
Yeah. 42 or something?
42.
And
overweight.
And the rest of the world is at 19, 20, yeah. 21.
So if we were, he said, and I mean, I'm going to quote him, this may not be the best, I'm going to paraphrase him, but he said if we were invaded by Swaziland, we might lose. Now that is embarrassing.
Ooh. And worrying.
Okay. Yeah.
Technically, it depends where Swaziland invades. The south coast of Durban, they've got no chance. The Cape Flats, they might have an issue.
Yeah,
depends what they want to take.
The Reed Dance could take us right now.
The Reed Dance. Oh no,
we're looking that bad.
Oh my god! All right, but there's some things to think about this morning. Let's get stuck into the five things you need to know. Where do you want to begin?
With Kylie Jenner, she's made the Forbes richest self-made woman list for 2018. This woman's about to become a billionaire.
How? What's a fortune based on?
Makeup.
I mean, I hate to sound stupid, but
so the Kardashians are big on their looks and their aesthetic, and Kylie Jenner in the last 3 years has made $900 million.
$900 million.
Yes, from selling lip kits. So the idea is that obviously she sold like a whole lot of makeup, but initially she was selling this stuff to make your lips look bigger and to kind of look like you were pouting when you're not. Well, it was lip gloss.
Okay.
And lipsticks. And then she got her lips done. And now recently, maybe like as recent as 5 days ago, she decided she was taking the fillers out. So now her normal lips are back. And everyone's like, but now you've sold us all of this stuff to make us look a particular way. People were having their own lips done.
I got close to $1 billion. I'm out of here.
And yeah, she's made way too much. I think she's actually even richer than Kim at this point. So how's that for crazy? Jesus,
that's incredible. Well, good for her.
I agree. People aren't happy, but done, girl.
We often say how stupid the Kardashians are, but this is something else. How old is she?
She's 20. Jesus. She's a mother.
20 years old, and she's got $900 million.
And she's number 27 on the actual list.
Oh, my
right?
She's beyond set for life.
Yeah.
I'm such a loser. Don't you feel like such a loser?
I do too. I don't even think she can count to 100 at this point, let alone 900 million. But congrats to little Kylie Jenner. I followed her, so I'm just happy for her that someone's making money to share for the family.
All right, good for her.
And then, have you guys been recycling? You know that we're supposed to be recycling.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, of course.
Yeah, I'm going through that.
How's it going? And what are you doing? And how do we know what to put where?
It makes you realize how much shit we actually just still throw out there, because obviously there's certain things you can't recycle.
Yeah.
And you become so conscious of those elements while, you know, when you're cycling, it looks nice and easy because the things you can recycle, it's like it's nice trash. And you look at your actual trash and go, jeepers, we are actually terrible as humans.
So we're supposed to be recycling as of the 1st of July. It's become mandatory, according to Pick It Up and the City of Johannesburg. There's supposed to be waste separation. But we've attempted this before and it hasn't worked. And I just wanted to let you know that that's what...
So we're meant to be doing it. Are we meant to use different bins for different stuff?
Different, yes.
Oh, shit.
For plastic, a whole bunch of stuff that I've seen on TV but haven't really attempted
myself. When people bitch like, oh, this country's going to shit and we know it's so backward. Like, it's small things like this. If you don't do this, you're also part of the problem.
You're part of the problem, right.
And then the story's been trending for a while, but I thought we'd talk about it today, is this Cape Town businessman who's been kidnapped for a ransom of 50 Bitcoin. And they're adamant that they want this Bitcoin, which is about 4.3 million rand.
Wow.
It's become a thing. Do you remember the child in Pretoria was kidnapped for Bitcoin as well, and he was released after they'd given a couple of Bitcoin? So this is now the second story, and this man is missing in action, and he has been kidnapped, and the kidnappers have been in touch to say, we'd like 50 Bitcoin for your guy to be released. Wow. So
that's horrendous.
It is a bit, especially since obviously they don't know where he is. And then I thought this was quite nice. There's always a link with a South African in every story, guys. There was a South African guy helping with the Thai rescue.
Oh, really?
Well, yes. He was supplying oxygen and helping with stretchers.
I think that's nice.
Yeah, we'll claim that.
Well, hey, I think his name is Leandro Girardi.
We are heroes. We're going to take it.
We had a hand in something good.
We are the champion.
Of supplying oxygen and stretches. I think it's pretty awesome.
All right, cool.
And
we'll
then
take
finally,
it.
Just we were talking about Trump earlier, and everyone's kind of commenting on whether they're going to run for presidency in 2020 in the US. And The Rock says he won't be running for presidency. Well, he's really busy.
Let's see some random celebrities.
But no one asked him.
Let's see some random celebrities repeat what Donald said yesterday about GDPs and stuff, because you got to have an understanding of what these economics are.
Oh, I don't agree. I, you know what? I'm just very relieved The Rock isn't taking this seriously.
President Rock.
President, yeah, exactly. What would we call him? Though. But it is that age, so that is the, all the
Rock. President Rock.
I'm Dunzo's.
All right. Cryptocurrencies, let's just do it anyway, because we've been doing it anyway for the last while. 6336, that's the number. $6,336.55 for Bitcoin. Ethereum trading at $439.77. Those are the numbers, the latest numbers. Let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the sport. There's so much there to talk about. Wow. Is this going to be the biggest weekend in sport this coming weekend?
Maybe.
Wimbledon final,
and
World Cup final. Yeah.
And South Africa versus Sri Lanka in the Test Arena. And there's also Super Rugby, the final round of league matches. But let's get into everything.
Take it away, Ben.
So you know France are going to win the World Cup. It's pretty obvious now.
You said so.
It just means that their sort of crowning ceremony is going to involve Croatia and not England. That was the only thing that was undecided.
Well, I heard a really good joke. During the England match, someone tweeted this out. They said, England and France, an Englishman and a Frenchman are standing at the bar, and the Englishman goes, "Yeah, we're playing Croatia tonight." And then the Frenchman goes, "Oh, that is a coincidence. We are playing them on Sunday."
Yeah, it was a decent game last night. England got off the best starts. Their free kick specialist Trippier curled one in. And then Harry Kane had a chance to really, I guess, put the game out of sight, really. Two goals in the semi-final, and it's difficult to come back from it. Unfortunately, he fluffed the chance to do so. If he had scored that goal, I reckon Real Madrid would have to have basically paid him €1 trillion to go play. You know, there's so much, there's all this hype around the World Cup. Like, Mbappe is going to win the World Cup now. Yeah. So he's going to be this ridiculous signing, because that's what you got to do as this big team that we spoke about. So Kane missed that chance. His team then just got progressively worse and worse. Now, Croatia, they weren't so clinical with the passing, but they had the pressure and the belief. The English side, they finally came up against someone who was decent in this tournament, and they started to buckle and show their inexperience, which was obviously hugely sad for anyone supporting England, but there was that air of sort of inevitability about it. Perisic, I think it was, he scored the goal. It's a beautifully taken goal. And it's just moments like this that make you realize the top level of sport and what it's about. When Mandzukic got that chance, that small chance in injury time, he didn't Harry Kane it, he buried it. And that was it.
Mandzukic.
Yeah.
And then there was a guy called Bogdanovic. Then there was a guy called Modric. And there was a guy called Spinach.
Yeah. And Spinach.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Spinach was very strong last night, and well, it was just a good all-round performance from Croatia, who, I mean, these guys definitely are the fittest team in the World Cup. I don't care what anyone's got to say. Even with, like, Russian drugs, I don't, whatever, these guys are the fittest people in this tournament. So they now take on France. It's this Sunday. It's 5 o'clock, so it's not one of 8 o'clock matches. So you can get your puzzle on nice and early on Sunday and watch this one. It does clash, though, with the Wimbledon final. I'll tell you what, Kevin Anderson is on a course to get there. He'll be playing John Isner, which will be the sort of the easier of the semi-finals. The other side, Djokovic and Nadal will square off. How bloody exciting, huh? Men's tennis without Federer, without Murray. But still, I mean, look how exciting it is. Kevin Anderson.
It's amazing. It's
big,
incredible.
Big booming servers in that first game. And then Djokovic returning to form. Now, Djokovic has been such a huge fixture in this whole tennis thing for some time now. Probably the better part of the last decade. But obviously he had his issues, he had his elbow injuries, all that kind of stuff that sidelined him, but he's in a supreme force. He's a great guy to watch because he's very human. He has meltdown moments, he shouts and he screams, he throws rackets, and then at the same time he still looks like a 14-year-old schoolboy. That's going to be a great match against Nadal. Obviously, I think it's the first time in 7 years Nadal has made the semi-final of Wimbledon. It is not his preferred surface. Mm-hmm. So there he is, still slugging away. On the women's side of things, well, today you can be absolutely overwhelmed with entertainment because Ostapenko will be taking on Kerber in the first semi-final. And then right. your guess is as good as mine that he wins that one between her and Serena Williams. So there's your semi-final matchup breakdown. Wimbledon doesn't get a whole much better than that. Sri Lanka won the toss and elected to bat, but they've gone out without their captain or their coach because of the whole, there was an absolute shitstorm around that West Indian Test series because Chandimal was caught fuffing with the ball, and then he was given like a ban, and then they didn't want to come out into the field, and now there's like all these hearings taking place. So what they've done is they've progressively almost sort of sanctioned themselves because the investigation is still carrying on right now. So Chandimal's not going to play this whole series, and the coach is going to sit out as well. Sri Lanka are currently 6-4-1. Shamsi and Maharaj are playing for South Africa, who are going to go with two spinners and the three pace bowlers of Dale Steyn, Kaki Sirabada, and Werner Philander. Of course, this pitch is going to spin, spin, and spin, because when the Sri Lankans come here, they get balls around their throats, and when we go over there, we get balls turning square. That's the circle of life when it comes to cricket. There is Super Rugby coming this weekend, but we'll get into it tomorrow because I'm pretty sure you couldn't give a toss about it. Slightly more from the World Cup is that FIFA are warning broadcasters to stop being so sexist.
Uh-oh, why? Well, what have broadcasters done?
This is the big problem, Gareth, in 2018 in Russia. The biggest problem with this World Cup, apparently, has been the sexism. Now, this is basically the cameramen focusing on pretty women in the crowd.
Oh.
How very dare they? These sexist pigs.
What, must we focus just, on fat, ugly
just
men?
Just showcasing these really beautiful women who want to get out of the sport of their country. How very dare you?
Must we show the kind of supporters that we don't want to encounter when we go to the stadium?
Well, Gareth, I just hope the full wrath of the law is unleashed on these horrible people showcasing these beautiful women.
So who's making this warning?
FIFA's... hang on a second, wait for it.
How?
FIFA's diversity boss.
Oh, geez.
FIFA has a diversity boss. Uh-huh.
Yeah, how about you... You know what? If you're so into diversity at FIFA, why don't you hire less corrupt people? Because you've got way too many. The corruption is overrepresented in FIFA.
Also, yeah, have we figured out who the prettiest nation is?
Poppy, stop being so damn sexist.
Yes, you're sexist.
I want to know. Look at you. Because that one day when Sweden was playing, everyone, including the guys, everyone was pretty.
Yeah, but everyone. That's Sweden.
Well, there we go. Point proven, Gareth. Because the broadcasters have been so sexist, Poppy has now become a sexist.
Exactly.
Just like that.
See, that's what happened.
And that is what the FIFA diversity boss is playing against. So okay. He's got...
We had this discussion around penises a while ago.
Yes.
Now, I think Poppy's right to ask who's the prettiest nation.
Surely there's some kind of, I don't know, poll that's been done.
I'm sure there must have been, but they're probably by sexists.
You guys are on your own. I'm not being roped into this sexism, this rampant sexism.
Right. Okay, Ben.
I'm a
better person than that.
Nation.
Okay. And that's it for your sport today.
All right. Very
World
good.
Cup that's, Russia.
Thank you, Ben. That's a lot to chew on. Let's get to Sia. What do you got for us, Sia?
As much as I'm bringing up this story this morning because it is remarkable what these two South African young men are doing, I also am raising it up in hopes that something actually happens about this situation. So every second weekend, 14-year-old Emilio and 19-year-old Manfred from the Eastern Cape go out into their community without being asked, without being paid, to fill potholes and deal with the sewage leak in and around their community.
Wow. What a thing to do.
They're doing it
of their own kind of...
Their own accord, wow. Because the municipality hasn't been doing anything for the past 4 years.
Teens
have become tired of the bad condition of the road and have taken it upon themselves to deal with the issue. For the past 4 years, they've been using shovels and a broom, which means they need to go back every couple of weeks to maintain what they've done. The young men prevent a pool of sewage from trickling down the embankment and going into the rest of the community. And the municipality has been in several times, but supposedly what they do is just these quick patch jobs and these temporary fixes. But the leak has been bubbling for several years now. I mean, kudos to these young men. They've started their projects about 4 years ago, and they continue to make sure that they fix what they can by using sand and just to covering the open mess. The community is absolutely grateful. Some members of the community say the likes of, you know, we can't exactly pay them, so we just pay them in lunch and some cool drinks as a thank you. They say it's not about the money, it's just about living in a clean environment. And really, they are doing remarkable work. But shucks, why do they have to bear the brunt for this? So to 14-year-old Amelia and to 19-year-old Manfred, my goodness, you guys are big people. I don't know if we'd be able to do the same if we were in your situations. But really, I hope the municipality in your area steps up and relieves you of this. You do not deserve this at all. But yeah, it's a bit of a double-edged sword this morning for your set by Sia.
That's really interesting stuff. I mean, I just love that there are people out there who, you know, who are taking matters into their own hands and sorting problems out.
It's tough.
And let me tell you, there's nothing glamorous about these problems they're sorting out.
Sorry. With a shovel and a broom, that's all you have. And you're taking up your weekend as a teenager. Right. Shucks.
Not good for them. Alrighty, a couple of messages. People are saying, your Dr. Witt has another very distinct opinion from that of Ben. I disagree. Oh, sorry, I agree with the good doctor. I think it was last week's Renegade Report. I'm not sure.
It was last week. It was with
what did he disagree with?
Ronaldo Jose.
Okay.
I'm not sure what they were arguing about, but...
All right.
I haven't listened to the full podcast yet.
I'm Dipster says, I'm on the latest version of the app and it all works fine, running Android 8.0. Yeah, I'm not sure which operating system it is or which phone it is, but there is a problem with our app on some phones.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, we are trying to figure that out. I just had a screaming... Did you hear that howl?
I did.
In my headphones? Jesus,
Sia.
Oh, the distinct opinion is on recycling. Jonathan Witt thinks recycling is a complete waste of time.
Well, I think... The outtake is that there's no capacity for all our trash. So if we can try to recycle some, it means our dumps aren't quite as full. That's my layman take on this.
I think I would go with that. That makes a lot of sense. Listen, also, if you think about it, we've got these guys who push these trolleys around full of garbage. And they're sorting a lot of that. They actually make money out of sorting the garbage.
Yeah.
I was about to ask, is there an incentive for us to recycle?
Yeah, there should be. I mean, you could get paid for glass, for example, and that kind of thing. So you have to actually take it to the places that they do the recycling. So it's a bit of a schlep, but if you need the money, and if you want to save money and you want to save the environment, then do it.
Look, I think just awareness of what we do in life is never a bad thing. You don't have to be smug about it.
Well, personal responsibility.
Personal responsibility.
I like about what Ben said. I don't know what Jonathan Witt's opinion on this is, and frankly, he's not here to defend himself, but... Ben's right. If you start with yourself, then you can start making the world better. If you expect everybody else to do everything, then nothing's going to improve. Who's on the line, Sia? Don't press that button. In case it howls into my ear again. Jesus, I almost went deaf. I think they could hear that in China. Hey, good morning. Skype or on phone?
Phone,
yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Dumi.
Hi, Dumi. Oh, my God. Dumi Morake.
Yee.
How are you, baby?
Like a shoot like a lemon. How are you?
Listen, I saw some stuff about you yesterday. That's why I asked... I asked Sia to give you a call this morning, and I completely forgot that I'd asked him. All right, so listen, I heard some good things. I heard that you had been announced as one of four African comedians to get your own Netflix comedy special. Very nice, baby. That makes you the first African female stand-up comedian to have your own set on Netflix.
Dude.
That is amazing. Dude. That is amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
That's a very big deal. How are you feeling?
Dude, I'm like nervous as hell. So, because, you see, everybody's finding out a few weeks in.
Yeah.
Because I already knew. So I was really excited when I found out. I actually did not sleep that night.
How did you keep it to yourself?
Hey?
How did you manage to keep it to yourself for so long before you knew you could talk?
I think because... I don't really keep it to myself. My entire family knew because, I, like I said, I could not sleep. I was so excited. And I was like, no, don't tell anyone yet. Don't tell anyone yet. Because, you know, you want to sign on the dotted line.
Right.
You want to, like, clear around. And then suddenly they'll be like, oh, no, actually.
Yeah, what if, they changed their minds? I mean, this is huge because Netflix, of course, we know, is one of the major content producers in the world. So you, Riyad Musa, Loiso Gola, and Loiso Madinga are all going to be given a set on this Netflix special. It's just for laughs, right? They've got an unprecedented new stand-up comedy event, which is going to premiere in 2019. So we're going to have to wait another year to actually see this stuff. It'll feature 47 comedians from around the globe. And I think this is terrific. It's going to be another opportunity for South African talent to shine.
Yeah, man. And I think the fact that it's also going all over the world, because I remember when they briefed us, they were like, okay, so your set has to be new, you know, never been seen. So everybody's also getting a treat because they won't be hearing stuff they've seen before. But they said they're going to take it all over the world. So even those non-English speaking places could be getting it translated or dubbed. I'm not sure how they do that, but just the idea of that, man.
That's amazing.
So incredible. So, but I look at also how many comics are in this country, and I go, there are so many people who could have been on that lineup, and I made it. So I'm really, really chuffed.
I'm very impressed. When are you coming to visit us again?
I will visit, but I was hoping this Netflix thing will also mean I get a job back. Because I just sent this thing as my CV.
you want to restart your old show? Let's give it a kick up the backside and get it going.
Yeah.
Why not? All right, I love you, Tumi. Well done.
Love you guys. Thank you so much.
Congrats, babe. That's terrific.
Thank you.
Wow, what a cool! I didn't even realize it was Tumi Muraki. I was like, oh, there's someone calling in.
She's talented.
She's good. She's so good. I'm very pleased. Netflix, that's a big deal.
That's like the biggest deal right now. Because all the big names get onto Netflix. That's like the sign that you've well and truly made it.
I can't think of anyone in South Africa who hasn't, you know, deserved this more. She's terrific. She really is. And a member of our family here. So we're always looking for good reasons to celebrate our own people doing well. So congrats, Tumi Morake. Hey, while we're speaking about our own talent, make sure you catch Living It Up with Lerato Shabalala, which is a new episode available later today. This week, they're talking about bedroom talk. Yes. And setting the mood by creating an intimate, sexy space. Living It Up with Lerato Shabalala is brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Woke up on the wrong side of the bed? Well, with Taylor Blinds, you can control the mood of your room with careful lighting control. There's more on cliffcentral.com. Greg, our station manager, was telling me yesterday they want to put up these blinds on these big windows in the studio.
Ooh.
Which will give us a whole mood. Nice. Feeling in the studio might just make it a whole lot more intimate and exciting, don't you think?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Intimate.
Don't you think?
I'm all for that.
So,
yeah, we need an upgrade here.
Yes, we do. Thank you very much, Poppy.
Oh, jeez, Poppy.
She's been here all of like 2 weeks. She's like, where's the upgrade?
I was waiting for the end to be like, we need to change that. We need to do this.
Okay.
All
right. Okay.
I'm ready.
All right. I got you.
Okay. So, Taylor Blinds knows who to talk to now.
Taylor Blinds, you've got a client here. Poppy's just waiting to do your work for you. All right. Very good. So lots of stuff coming up in the next hour, including Justice Malala and the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's.
This is CliffCentral.com.